Our gospel reading comes from John, the 4th chapter. It's a lengthy story, and so I have asked John and Dave to help me with this a bit.
Jesus had to travel through Samaria. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land that Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy some food.
"Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?"
"If you recognize God's gift, and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him, and he would give you living water."
"Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock."
"Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water, so that I will never be thirsty and will never need to come here to draw water."
"Go, get your husband and come back here."
"I don't have a husband."
"You are right to say I do not have a husband. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you are with now isn't your husband. You've spoken the truth."
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you and your people say that it's necessary to worship in Jerusalem."
"Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you and your people will worship the Father neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You and your people worship what you do not know. We worship what we know because salvation is from the Jews. But the time is coming, and indeed is here now, when true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. The Father looks for those who worship him in this way. God is spirit, and it is necessary to worship God in spirit and in truth."
"I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will teach everything to us."
"I am the one who speaks to you."
Just then, Jesus' disciples arrived and were shocked that he was talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman put down her water jar and went into the city.
"Come and see a man who has told me everything I've done. Could this man be the Christ?"
Then they left the city and were on their way to see Jesus. Many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus just because of the woman's word when she testified, "He told me everything I've done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more believed then because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world."
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
And thanks be to John and David. Just so you know, this was another example of flexibility. Nancy Schombach was supposed to actually be the woman of the well, and I was supposed to be Jesus. But Nancy is pretty much going from the neighborhood to home and back and does not want to be around other folks, and she works with very vulnerable folks. And since Adam isn't here, John stepped in. So, yay. I am most grateful. Well, we have moved from the dark of night and a visit from Nicodemus to the bright noonday sun. Jesus has entered Samaria, that unclean place of unclean people who were the enemy of the Jews. He is at Jacob's well, and the disciples have gone off to find lunch. A woman approaches, a Samaritan woman, who comes after all the other women have come in the cool of the morning, perhaps to avoid the other women. We really aren't sure. Her past marriages are a question that remain unanswered. Some would have you think she's been divorced a few times. And yet we don't know but what she's been widowed or the victim of husbands who didn't get the children they wanted and thus divorced her. We're told the man she lives with is not her husband. And yet, we don't know who he is. We don't know. He could be a kinsman. Jesus does not instruct her to leave her sinful life, nor does he judge her. He simply states the facts. So there's much we do not know about this Samaritan woman, including her name, of course. But one thing we do know about her is she knows theology, not only of her own people, but of the Jewish faith as well, and that she can stand on her own with the theologian's theologian, Jesus of Nazareth. She is well aware of the animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans, knows about the Messiah, even understands the worship practices of both groups. She knows enough to know that speaking up to him could cost her life. Speaking to a man in public, giving the man a drink of water, were all very risky for her. So here they are out in the midday sun. The midday sun where all is seen and exposed, where the truth about ourselves can be clearly seen, our wrinkles and our imperfections, our regrets and wanderings, our losses. All those cracked and broken places in us, in ourselves and our lives that we hope others do not notice, that we try to keep in the shadows. But for this woman, they are all there for Jesus to see. Now, history has made this woman a woman of a single story, and a story that isn't even clearly there in Scripture. We've made a lot of presumptions. She has been made into a promiscuous, sinful woman. But Jesus sees more than a single story. He doesn't have any preconceived notions about her at all. He knows that her life is more complicated than it might at first appear. He knows that she is not a woman of one story, but of many stories. And what Jesus sees, frankly, is a woman worth talking with. Do you know that this is the longest conversation Jesus has with anyone in the Gospels? I'll let Mike go home and count verses for me. You check on that. He takes this woman seriously. He engages her in offering her something more than her faith has to offer. He offers her the living water of faith in him. He sees that she thirsts for more, and regardless of who she is worthy of hearing the good news. So they talk about important things, life and worship in the Spirit. Jesus explains that no one will be worshiping as they did before. Perhaps those are words we need to hear today. Eugene Peterson, in The Message, he paraphrases this beautifully. He writes, "It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. You must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before God in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration. Imagine what worship would be like if when we came to worship, we were ready to engage our spirit in pursuit of God's truth. If when we came, we were simply and honestly ourselves before God here. If our worship comes from us, our spirit, in addition, we seek to adore God in any way we can. Imagine if when we entered here, that's all that mattered. That we were able to offer God all of who we are in praise and adoration. In the coming weeks, our spirit of worship and community are going to be challenged. It will give us pause as to what it means for us to worship in spirit and in truth. The woman at the well may not have fully understood everything he said, but she believed the Messiah was coming and had the Messiah fully revealed to her in Jesus. She was changed by this encounter, as were all the people of the town, because of their experience of Jesus. While her testimony may have drawn them initially to Jesus, it was their own encounters that brought faith to life in them. Each week, each day, we have opportunities for transformation. The woman was going to the well as she did every single day. And yet she was willing first to risk engaging Jesus and then listening and receiving what he had to share. She was willing to push and give and take. How many times do we not take the risk and thus have an opportunity to miss an opportunity to have God more fully revealed to us and our lives changed because of it? Imagine if this woman had ignored Jesus, was afraid to speak to him, or had gone home and had told no one about her encounter, thinking that no one would believe her. This woman's life was known to Jesus, and yet he took the time to teach her. He crossed boundaries of faith, of race, of gender, went way beyond prejudice to open new life to another person. She took the risk of listening and responding. Just as Nicodemus took a risk going to Jesus, so did this woman in answering him. You see, our relationship with Jesus is not without risk. To think otherwise is only to fool ourselves. When we are in relationship with God's Son, life is different for us. We are no longer satisfied with our life as long as there are others who struggle, whether for food or shelter or with illness or grief or pain. We're not at peace until all are at peace, sharing in the life we have the privilege to enjoy. But it is a risk that is more than worth taking. Living water, a thirst forever quenched, a love that will not let us go. Amen.